Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
There's a ton of good stuff on our website right now at WWL.com. The top story, French Quarter Management District selects Ivy Waste to pick up their trash. The trash saga is not over. There's a new development here. You're going to want to stay on top of that story, and you can do that at our website, WWL.com. We've also got plenty of information about the mayoral race that's coming up in October. We've got a story about the Senate race that's taking shape. You know, Bill Cassidy is up for re-election this fall. He's drawn a primary competitor. We'll tell you what's going on with that. And then, of course, Saints training camp is underway today on Sports Talk. Bobby, Mike, and Steve are going to be diving into the Cajun Cannons Saints training camp notebook after the first padded practice. You'll hear from Coach Kellen Moore and key players about the physicality of camp ramping up. And also, is LSU football's season opener against Clemson the Bayou Bengals' toughest matchup of the season? Huddle up with Bobby, Mike, and Steve 4 to 8 today on WWL and the Odyssey app. Also at WWL.com on our contests page, you got about six more days left to win one of these generators. As we get into the heart of hurricane season, everybody worries about losing power. Can you imagine if you lost power today because a tree fell on a power line or a squirrel ran into a piece of electrical equipment or something like that? It could happen to you, man. WWL wants to help ease your concerns. That's why we teamed up with Craig's Electrical and Generator Service to offer you the chance to win a portable generator. That's a Generac GP6500. Total value, almost $1,000. You can win one right now. Go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win. It takes about 10 seconds to enter. It's incredibly easy. You don't have to be the eighth caller. You don't have to answer a multiple choice quiz. You don't have to enter a code word. All you do is go and type in your email address and check a box or two, and you're automatically entered to win. Backup power from Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. When the power goes off, Craig's comes on. That's courtesy of Craig's and WWL, Louisiana's official emergency management station. Do not get caught without electricity in this weather. Continuing the conversation from last hour about the missing 2 minutes and 53 seconds of surveillance video from Jeffrey Epstein's prison cell on the night that he died. Had a great conversation last hour with the cybersecurity expert. If you want to go back and take a listen to that, it gets a little bit wonky at times, but he and I both did our best to make it understandable to people who don't know a whole hell of a lot about computers and cybersecurity and surveillance cameras and all that. What you need to know is there's about 3 minutes of footage missing. And the Department of Justice and the FBI said, hey, here's the full unedited video. Well, it turns out it was edited big time, massively edited multiple times over the course of several hours. And now there's 3 minutes missing. You can hear the rest of that conversation at WWL.com and on the Odyssey app. You can rewind that puppy. We'll also have it up on demand on our podcast page a little bit later. To the Oakland Art Jewelers talking text line, we find Maria in Covington. Maria, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hi. how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today? You staying cool?
I'm in my car. That's the only way I'm going to be cool.
Okay, well, I hope it's cool in your car.
How great you were.
Thank you.
How great you were yesterday.
Oh, you saw the show.
I enjoyed it so much.
Maria is talking about a Midsummer Night's Dream at the New Orleans Shakespeare Festival at Tulane University. Yesterday afternoon was our closing performance. We had a sold out run, and Maria was in the audience yesterday. I'm pleased to hear it. Thank you so much.
So let me ask you one question. Was
sure.
your wife in the audience?
I'm no longer married, ma'am. My ex-wife.
Okay.
I don't think was there. Did you?
No, there was somebody who was a huge fan of yours, and I was getting a kick out of watching them.
I did have several close associates in the audience yesterday. My ex-wife was not among them. I don't think she's in the habit of coming to see my plays anymore. She is relieved of that duty at this point. But there it is. I did know a lot of people in the audience yesterday, to include Diane Newman and some of her friends, our operations manager and program director here. She was there yesterday as well.
Well, it was a great way to spend a hot afternoon.
Thank you. I'm so glad you made it. We often joke, my girlfriend and I and others in the cast, who say there's no better place to spend a hot summer afternoon than in the Lupin Experimental Theater at Tulane University. It's an icebox in there, huh?
It was great. Well, thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Keep an eye on the Shakespeare Festival. It's really up and coming. They're doing some great work over there, Graham Burke and everybody else that puts those plays on, really taking it in a really positive direction, Maria. Thank you so much. All right. On the O'Connor Jewelers Talking text line, here's a text that says, you forgot about the big deal that was made with Europe. I did not forget about the big deal that was made with Europe. We talked about that 60 minutes ago. And if you weren't listening, that's okay. I know you can't listen to every minute of every show, but we did talk about it. Really in-depth conversation, but you know, as much as there is reportable about it. James on the North Shore also texted in earlier and said it's not really a deal, it's more of an agreement. So we'll have to see where exactly it goes. You know, other people besides the people that we heard from today, Ursula von der Leyen and Keir Starmer, other people in the European Union, high-ranking officials, are not in favor of this agreement or deal, if you nasty. So, you know, it has to go to the EU, I think, the General Assembly, to be ratified. And at that point, maybe it'll change. Maybe the terms will be different. Maybe it'll be a 20% tariff, or maybe it'll be a 10% tariff. Time will tell. Here's a text from Beverly. Beverly says, it was already told to us that minutes of the tape were missing. At the same time, the security guards also walked away for a minute. That was told weeks after it happened, but there was no red flag and no big deal 3 or 4 years ago. Seems like the FBI during the Biden administration lied to us. Well, yes and no. Beverly's about halfway right here. And this is a distinction I tried to draw with my guest in the last hour. We always knew about the missing minute. The missing minute that happened in the 60 seconds leading up to midnight on that surveillance tape. And we are told, and it passes the smell test, that that missing minute occurred because that's when the security system resets whatever the cameras or the recording equipment need to do to, you know, freshen itself for the next 24 hours. That's when they do it, at 11:59 p.m. So we've always known there was a missing minute. And I think it makes sense to assume that there is always a missing minute of footage, that there is never a recording of what happens between 11:59 and midnight on that camera at the MCC in New York. But what's different now is that the DOJ and the FBI handed over what they called this full, unedited video. That video analysis cyber forensics experts have determined is actually quite edited. And there is not just 1 minute missing. There is nearly 3 minutes missing. So both things can be possible at once. Yes, we did know back in 2019, I think it was, when Epstein, I'll say it, killed himself. Wait, no, that's not what I want to say. He didn't kill himself. When Epstein was killed. Great. Yeah, just to muddy the waters even further. We knew back then about the missing minute, but we didn't know about the missing 3 minutes until a couple weeks ago. And, you know, the DOJ could have very simply said, there's 3 minutes missing from this. But they didn't. They said this is the whole thing. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Go talk about something else. Barack Obama committed treason. Boogie boogie over there. I'm not falling for it, and I hope you don't either. Here's a text that says, my whole family believes that Epstein was killed. He loved himself too much to kill himself. Interesting. There's another text down here. Let's see if I can find this. Something about Joe Rogan. Yeah, here's a text that says, I'm not a big Joe Rogan fan, but even he was talking about this, and he mentioned the fact that Epstein's neck was broken in three places. I don't know much about hanging, but apparently that's more damage than a hanging can do. Does your guest know anything about that? Well, my guest, I don't think, did know anything about that, so I'm not terribly sorry I didn't get a chance to ask him that. But if that's true, that Epstein's neck was broken in three places, it makes me kind of wonder, and I don't hope to get too macabre about this. It's a family show and all. But, you know, it's not like he could throw himself off a balcony or something. You remember The Wire, the HBO show? There's one of the characters in The Wire that was murdered in prison, and it was made to look like he hung himself from a doorknob. And that's, you know, I don't think that's easy to do. So if it's true that Epstein's neck was broken in three places, that suggests to me, and, you know, I'm not a forensics guy, I'm not a criminal whatever, but if your neck is broken in three places, that to me suggests like a kind of big impact. You know, like if somebody was hung themselves off a gallows or something. But if you just have, I don't know, a couple socks or a bed sheet or whatever you would hang yourself with in a prison cell, how are you going to get enough momentum to break your neck in three places? That doesn't make any sense to me. In a few minutes, we're going to be speaking to Dr. John Fitzmaurice from the UNO Department of History and Philosophy. I'm really excited about this topic. You know, if you don't know anything about me by now, it should be that I'm always excited to go back and look at history, and in particular to look at history, not just for the sake of looking at history, but to do that understanding how it impacts what we're talking about today. There are so many stories and narratives in our modern news ecosystem that we, in our sort of goldfish brain sense, think just came out of nowhere. Oh my God, this story is brand new, or this idea is brand new, or this dynamic between these two different players or institutions is brand new, when in fact it is not new at all. So what I'm going to do starting out in this next segment is kind of draw a parallel between what happened 100 years ago in Tennessee in the Scopes Monkey Trial. And maybe you've never heard of the Scopes Monkey Trial. That's okay. We'll explain it for you. And we're going to connect that to what's happening today in Louisiana under the guidance of Governor Jeff Landry. We'll step away and get a look at traffic with Courtney VIP in just a few moments here. If you want to react to anything you've heard, or you want to talk to me or shoot me a text message, please do so. It's 504-260-1870. We'll have more traffic for you. And then when we come back, we'll be talking to Dr. John Fitzmaurice about the Scopes Monkey Trial. It's going to be good stuff. Stick around. I'm Ian Hoken for Scoot.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You're right back after this. We spent a lot of time on this program, I guess, bemoaning the fact that Governor Landry appears determined to weigh down his otherwise pretty effective and efficient administration with these pointless culture crusades. One of his first major initiatives in the field of education was to force all Louisiana classrooms to have the Ten Commandments on display, which is obviously unconstitutional. But let's be honest, he knows that. The Attorney General, Liz Merle, knows that. It's built to be unconstitutional. There is no reason to think that this is anything except a legal slingshot that is constructed very specifically to reach the Supreme Court of the United States, which we know is packed with conservatives who might be willing to uphold the Ten Commandments law and in so doing undo 2.5 centuries worth of precedent and rip another chunk out of the wall separating church and state. But maybe that's the point. Just last week, Governor Landry insisted on social media that the separation of church and state is a myth. Quote, that's his exact words. The separation of church and state is a myth, with the word myth in all caps, as if to emphasize that he believes one of the core tenets of what made America special and great to begin with was nothing more than a myth. It was about as real as the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot or the Rougarou. Everything old is new again, right? With that in mind, let's remember that 100 years ago this summer, America reached a turning point in the effort to educate young people about a scientific concept that most of us nowadays take as gospel truth. In a sweltering Tennessee courtroom, a high school teacher named John Scopes went on trial for the high crime of teaching the theory of evolution to his biology students. And what unfolded next became one of the most dramatic and defining legal battles in American history. People then called it the Scopes Monkey Trial. It wasn't just about one man or one lesson plan, like I believe Governor Landry's push to insert Christian dogma into public school classrooms is. The Scopes Monkey Trial was a purposefully constructed showdown between science and religion, tradition and progress, and it captured the imagination of the entire nation. A century later, the questions at the heart of that trial about education, faith, and the role of science in public life are still with us, and we are still arguing about them. Joining us right now is Dr. James Fitzmaurice from the University of New Orleans History Department, here to help us look back at the trial, its impact, and why its legacy still resonates today. Doctor, thanks for joining us. Thank you for making the time.
Thank you for having me, sir. And I just want to correct you real quick. My younger and better looking brother is James, and I'm the more intelligent one. I'm named John. Okay.
My mistake. That is John Fitzmaurice III, still a doctor, still at the New Orleans Department of History and Philosophy, correct?
At least for right now, yes, sir.
Very good. Thank you so much, Doctor. Appreciate that correction.
Thank you for having me on today.
Absolutely. For people who only know it as the Scopes Monkey Trial, or have maybe never heard of the Scopes Monkey Trial, tell us in your words what happened in that Tennessee courtroom 100 years ago.
Basically, what happened in that courtroom was two things. Number one, it was a showdown over whether or not biblical creationism was going to be taught as a science class in the public schools. But then it also became a personality contest between the chief prosecutor of the case, who was William Jennings Bryan, a man who had been a candidate for president four times. He had served as Woodrow Wilson's Secretary of State prior to the First World War, known as the Great Commoner from Nebraska. After his political career ended, he then engaged upon sort of a crusade to bring biblical fundamentalism to the rest of America. On the other side, opposing him was a guy who actually, they had a good friendly relationship with each other, Clarence Darrow, the famous attorney of the American Civil Liberties Union, which had just recently formed earlier in that decade in response to many of the civil liberties that were being violated in the wake of the First World War. And so what you had was a showdown over essentially evangelical Christianity trying to take over the public schools of Tennessee and therefore the rest of America, and this great personality showdown between Darrow and Bryan.
And to be clear, this was not just sort of a happy accident. The plaintiff in this case was very specifically selected by the ACLU in much the same way that Rosa Parks was kind of picked out, you know, for what, you know, interested parties thought would, you know, be the most interesting in the court of public opinion. Correct.
Absolutely. John Scopes was only a 25-year-old teacher, but he was one of those who was considered to be at the time an atheist, although he was really an agnostic. And just like Homer Plessy did down here in 1896 in Louisiana, so also did John Scopes step up and say, I will be the one that will essentially be the sacrificial goat, and began teaching evolution, the theory of evolution, in the science class in Dayton, Tennessee. And at first, it really didn't get a whole lot of attention. It was not well covered by the press until a reporter for the Baltimore Sun by the name of H.L. Mencken, Henry L. Mencken, begins to cover. And, of course, we all know the history about H.L. Mencken because that's what one of our former district attorneys or U.S. attorneys used as a moniker later on. And when he started covering it, it gained national attention. And suddenly this little town of maybe about 1,500 to 2,500 people in the middle of nowhere, Tennessee, became the central focus of the nation's attention in 1925.
All right. Tell us why teaching evolution or the theory of evolution was such a big deal at the time. What is the social political climate in 1925 leading up to this this couple of weeks in July?
All right, a couple of things. One, a long look back, and then one, a short look back. This country, although it is founded and established on the principle of the separation of church and state, nonetheless has a very strong religious foundation to it. And over the period of some, really going back to the colonial days, we have gone through what are called revival movements. And these revival movements are attempts to re-energize faith, to get people back into the pews, to get people to come forward, to make the sermons and the scriptures come alive. And this particular revival movement that happens in the wake of the First World War, that happens during the time in which communism, godless atheistic communism, was now beginning to, you know, supposedly rear its ugly head. And we had a Red Scare in the 1920s, very similar to the one we would have later in the 1950s. Things were changing in the world, and whenever the world goes through a great deal of change, you always have sort of a counter-reaction to it. And this evangelical Christian revival movement then begins to say that we are going to treat the Bible, the scriptures, the Christian scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures before that, as what actually happened in history, mm-hmm. in science. This is how the world came to be, and this is how we should teach it, even in science classes, in response to things like Darwin, in response to the changes of the world. this is the reaction to it.
And tell us exactly what happened in that trial. You know, what were the arguments presented by each side, and how did the ruling come down?
Essentially, what happened was that Darrow managed to bait William Jennings Bryan to take the stand. And when he baited the chief prosecutor in the case to take the stand, he went after him based on biblical interpretation and began to show that if you're going to believe everything that is in the scriptures literally, there are contradictions in the scriptures. And so it became this personality contest between Darrow, the great agnostic, Bryan, the great commoner, the great evangelical. And essentially, he so flummoxed William Jennings Bryan at the end of this trial that in the end, John Scopes was found guilty by the court. He broke the law as it stood at the time. Mm-hmm. But in losing the fight, Scopes and Clarence Darrow and the ACLU and the supporters of separation of church and state actually won the war in the long run, because mm-hmm. it made the evangelical fundamentalist Christian movement look very ridiculous in the process. And so for the next 25 years or so, you see very little from the evangelical Christian movement until about maybe 25 years later, when this young charismatic preacher out of North Carolina named Billy Graham revives the religion yet again mm-hmm. in the 1950s.
So you have the 1925 trial, you have the 1950s, a sort of second revival, and then 50 years odd after that, you know, here we are in 2025, and we have Governor Jeff Landry trying to put the Ten Commandments in every Louisiana classroom. From a historian's perspective, does this feel like a replay of the same battle?
It does. And, of course, Jeff Landry is not the first Republican governor to try this.
Not at all.
We had Bobby Jindal with Intelligent Design. And prior to him, we actually had Dave Treen, the first Republican governor since Reconstruction, attempting to write creationism into the laws of Louisiana education. So this has been a movement very much on the conservative side. You'll remember that around the time that the moral majority came about in the late 70s and the early 80s, you begin to see the revival of trying to get fundamentalism put back into the schools. And, of course, then there was the fight by the ACLU to counteract that.
Mm-hmm. Governor Landry says the separation of church and state is a myth. How does that statement square with the legal principles that came out of the Scopes trial and other church-state cases that we've seen since then?
Look, the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States is very clear that Congress shall respect no law establishing a religion. Okay, Thomas Jefferson, one of our founding fathers, in the Virginia Ordinances of Religious Freedom, said very clearly that you cannot establish a religious faith as an article of law in civil law. Okay, Jeff Landry knows that. Jeff Landry's an attorney. He went to law school and all that. At the same time, Jeff Landry's voting base is very much one that is incredibly conservative, incredibly evangelical, especially up in the north of Louisiana. And so Jeff Landry's going to have to say what Jeff Landry's going to need to say to keep his voting base. So he knows it's not a legal, it's not constitutional, but this is what politicians do from time to time, and they'll continue to do it as long as it is important for them to get those votes.
Do you see this, doctor, as more about, you know, what you said there, so, you know, strictly political theater, and or going back to my theory that this is, you know, what I would call a legal slingshot that is constructed specifically to go through all the appeals all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, where the Landry administration thinks they'll get a favorable ruling? Is it one or either or both?
I think it's both, to be honest with you. I think that he's definitely playing to his base in doing this. But he also knows that there is a very strong 6-3 conservative majority on the Supreme Court. And he knows that in some of those votes, some of those six votes that are conservative, they are very ultra conservative. Mm-hmm. And they have shown an ability in the past, just simply based on their decisions, that they have sought to be what many conservatives call an activist justice. And it's an interesting, ironic twist that it's the conservatives who tend to be very activist here, and it is the more liberal justices that are saying, no, we need to adhere to the law and the law as it was written and as it was intended.
Wild. All right. Last one, Doctor. So we've spoken a little bit in this conversation about these sort of periodic cycles of religious revivalism. You mentioned Billy Graham and, you know, what came before and after that. Where do you view us in that cycle today?
I think given the current state of the country, and that is we're very bitterly divided. We're very polarized. Religious revival is always a possibility in times like this. As somebody said, there are no atheists in foxholes. And right now, the country is in a foxhole. When it comes to the political dialogue, when it comes to changes, when it comes to who our leaders are and who our leaders want to be. And especially the demographic change of this country is changing so much. Well, you have an increased immigration where white Anglo-Saxon Caucasian Americans are soon to be the minority in this country. That's going to cause a great deal of uncertainty. It's going to cause a great deal of anxiety, and people tend to tack more closely toward religion when that happens.
All right. I said last one, but now this is really the last one, Doctor. So, you know, if we're all in your course, and this is kind of the, you know, the penultimate, you know, session before we all take the test, what lesson should we all really take away from the Scopes Monkey trial as we watch this new fight unfold today? And how should we consider that?
If I were to give an essay question on the Scopes Monkey trial, it would be, what is the importance of religious thought and religious faith as regards to the political structure of the country, and how the tension between religion and the political structure of the country can be broken at times by issues such as biblical creationism, biblical fundamentalism, and so forth.
Dr. John D. Fitzmaurice III is a doctor in the UNO Department of History and Philosophy. Thank you so much for your time, your work, and your way. Really nice speaking with you. And again, thanks for making yourself available on short notice today.
Ian, I'm always glad to help. And you sure you don't have one more question for me?
No, I think that's it. Are you staying cool, Doctor?
That's kind of less possible than many things that are going on right now. But we're doing the best that we can. And to all the people out there, if you're suffering, get to those cooling shelters, please.
Yeah, indeed. All right. It is dangerous out there. All right, Doctor, you stay cool. I'm going to keep you in the Rolodex, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
Thank you, sir. Have a great afternoon.
And to you as well. Thank you so much. We'll come back with more of your calls and texts on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talking text line, 504-260-1870. I got a couple stacked up here I really want to get to, but we got to take care of some business first. I'm Ian Hocken for Scoot. I'll be right back after this. Don't go anywhere.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
All right, just a few minutes left to go here on this Monday edition of the Scoot Show on WWL. I got another great show tomorrow. I'm incredibly excited about tomorrow's show because we're going to start out talking to Tim Miller from the Bulwark. He used to work for Jeb Bush. Now he's one of the country's most prominent Never Trump pundits. You see him on cable news just all the time. The Bulwark is a very popular podcast and media production company. We're going to talk to Tim Miller. He's actually going to be here live in the studio with me. Very excited to have that conversation with him. I've been following his work for a very long time, and it came to my attention that he lives here. He lives in New Orleans, which I would not have guessed. He's a really quite influential media person. He could really take his pick of anywhere he wanted to live, be it, you know, New York or D.C. or Timbuktu, but he lives in New Orleans. So we'll get him in the studio tomorrow and we'll hear from him and get his perspective on all things going on. A couple quick text messages and then I'll take a call from Charles. Here's a text that says, oh shoot, where did it go? Of course I closed it at exactly the wrong moment. Where is it? Did I just dead ass close the whole tab? All right, give me a second. Hang on a second. I got to move this over. Oh, you know, I got to log in again. Yeah, because we got time for this. Thanks. Everybody, hold your horses. It's going great.
Is this where I play like the Jeopardy music or something? Or
I mean, Jeopardy music, I mean, I guess so, because that's usually short enough. That's only, what do they give them? They give them 60 seconds or something?
Possibly, yeah, maybe.
60 seconds seems like a lot of time for Final Jeopardy.
Or we can just go to Charlie.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, put Charlie on. We'll talk to Charles in the parish. Charles, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, baby. Look, y'all always, Scoot was talking last week about, you know, America wasn't founded on Judeo-Christianity, correct?
Not quite. Not quite. Let's not misrepresent what he said. I mean, I think we're all in agreement about the role that Judeo-Christian values. Let me just get this out, Charles, since you accused him of saying something he didn't say. Everybody knows that the country was kind of founded on a set of principles that are very similar to, you know, what we containerize as Judeo-Christian values, right? But that does not mean that we establish, you know, the right of one certain religion in our government.
No. But there was 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence. And 53 of them walked out and formed the first Masonic temple in the United States of America. And you know who gave us that great gift? The Creator. Not God, not Jesus. The Creator is the way the Masons look at it. The ever-seeing eye. So it was. Thomas Jefferson owned the Quran. And the reason why he studied the Quran was because Islam and Christianity are not compatible.
What do you mean not compatible?
He hung up.
What do you mean they're not compatible? They're both Abrahamic religions, aren't they? There's more in common between Christianity and Judaism and Islam than just about any other religion on the planet that I can think of right now. So that's a curious thing to say. But thanks for calling in, Charles. Here's a text from, from Rusty. I just had this from Rusty. Aha. Rusty says, I think they will not allow this because the Supreme Court may be conservative and also religious, but they see the writing on the wall, just like the professor just claimed that in the future, the white Anglo-evangelist population will be passed up by non-white first Hispanics, which are also religious and Catholic, and second off will be by the Muslim community because they are having by far the most population growth in our country, just as there aren't any in every other country all over Europe and Canada. So with that being said, that's why they want vote to have on commandments in the classrooms. Yes, I think some of that got a little garbled in translation, but I think you get the point. Here's a text that says, look, I don't want to sound like a sycophant, but how about a nightly Hoke Point talk show about 8 o'clock after the sports yapping? I'm serious. Back in the day, there were nighttime talk shows, even late night, that were a lot of fun. Don't think it hasn't occurred to me. You know, I think I was just driving in a car Saturday night, and I was thinking, oh, man, what would it be like to be on the air, you know, from 8 to midnight? Because I used to produce that show. I did. Tommy was on the night shift, Deke Bellavia, Scoot. Everybody did the 8 o'clock show for a while, and I thought, I don't know. I just like being on the air when people are awake and driving around in their cars and thinking with their best brain instead of, you know, it's 10 o'clock, I'm drunk, and I'm going to call a talk show and talk about the Masonic Temple. We better stop there. We'll get one more look at traffic, and I'll come back and say goodbye. But again, got another great show coming up tomorrow. We've had another great show so far today. I want to thank everybody for participating. I'm Ian Hoken for Scoot. We'll be right back after this. Stick around. My friend G is listening today, and G says, Ian, is Christianity a religion? Or is Baptist, Catholic, Protestant? The Jewish faith has several sects, but all Jewish. The United States was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. The pledge, our money, etc. The Declaration of Independence says nature's God entitled them. In that regard, yes, we are intertwined with God. And you're right, G. I think as a people, we were then, and we are now in many ways. As a people, but not as a government. That's what the whole separation of church and state is about. It doesn't mean that people in government cannot be religious. They just can't force it on everybody else. Here's another text that says, we were taught about evolution and the separation of religion and government by the nuns here in New Orleans. You can be spiritual and believe in science. I couldn't have said it better myself. And we will leave it there. I want to make sure I thank my studio producer, Coleman, Chris Miller in the news department, Courtney P. on the traffic today. We'll be back tomorrow with Tim Miller from The Bulwark. It's going to be a great conversation, appointment listening at 125. I thank you for listening, for your calls, for your text messages. Please stay cool. Please stay safe. Please check up on people that might not be able to do either. And enjoy Sports Talk. Here it comes. Sayonara.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.